Like we're back on the record. I think at this point we were going to have the applicant come back up and address some of the public comments which were raised.
So staff would like to address a few things first and then we'll have the applicant come up. Is that okay?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay.
If you could state your, you remain under oath, but state your name again for the record.
Catherine Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to address two concerns that the public had, the first being the trash collection.
Mm-hmm.
And under condition number 54 of the staff report, it says that prior to the SDAP approval, so we'll go through the preliminary land use and then the applicant will submit a site development activity permit. So prior to that approval, waste management shall be contacted for information on implementing the solid waste slash recycling storage requirements influenced by the service provider of the project. Pay particular attention to the access requirements of collection trucks. Documentation shall be provided from the solid waste slash recycling center or recycling service, provided that their requirements for this project have been met. So there is a condition that does talk about trash within this development, and they're not even going to get the site development activity approval until we have that documentation. And then the next thing I wanted to talk about was the density.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put the zoning map up again. And this project is zoned urban high, or excuse me, urban medium. And that requires 10 to 18 dwelling units per acre. So this subject property is 7.27 acres. So there is a minimum and a maximum that this property can have. And I know the members of the public were hoping to have one dwelling unit per acre, but we wouldn't actually be allowed to recommend approval because minimum density does have to be met. And that that one dwelling unit per acre, just, it wouldn't meet the density. And this is actually came through our comprehensive plan, which is approved last year in 2016. So this is when those zoning were assigned and vetted out. And as Levi mentioned earlier, it was zoned urban low, I believe, in the previous comp plan. And then it was upzoned in this last one. And I'd like to show just a document or a graph that I made in the staff report, which is on page 13. So I'm going to attempt to put it up here. So this is on page 13 of the staff report, and minimum density is based off of the net developable area. And net developable area is when you subtract the roads and stormwater facilities, you get a number which was shown on the site plan that was submitted, and that number was 3.32 acres. And so the minimum density is based on that times the minimum number of housing units allowed. So the minimum number that they could put on this property is 33.2, and then we round down. And then the maximum is based on gross acreage, which is 7.27, and then we multiply by the highest number. So this property can have anywhere from 33 to 131, because we're going to round up for that that decimal. And then they're proposing 68 to be within that unit. So I just wanted to give a little bit more explanation on what they were proposing versus what was desired. And at this point, I would like to turn it over to Candy Vickery, and she's going to talk about the drainage issues.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your name for the record?
Candy Vickery.
And you swore to tell the truth today?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
As I said, my name is Candy Vickery. I work with the Department of Community Development in the development engineering section. Catherine mentioned I was going to speak about storm drainage, but really I'm here to speak about traffic. Some members of the public expressed concerns with traffic volume, and so I wanted to point out or clarify some conditions in the staff report. the Public Works Department of Kitsap County is requiring Northwest Hogan Lane to be improved to 11-foot travel lanes with curb, gutter, and sidewalk. That improvement on Hogan Lane will better accommodate this additional traffic than the current conditions. Additionally, this proposal went to Washington State Department of Transportation for review, and they have conditioned the project that prior to approval of the site development activity permit, the applicant will be required to provide documentation from the State Department of Transportation regarding their approval for impacts and any required mitigation at the intersections of State Route 303 and Ridgetop Boulevard and State Route 303 and Central Valley Road. So it's recognized that there will be additional traffic from this development and impacts from that. But the county as well as the state are requiring or may require mitigation for that additional traffic impact.
Okay. And you're talking about the conditions, I think they're 31 to 48, all
yes.
that deal with the traffic issues.
Yes, correct. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything, that's all from planning at this point? Did the applicant want to step forward? Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name for the record?
Norm Olson, project engineer.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Thank you.
Yeah, so regarding the stormwater, mm-hmm. I can understand that there probably is a lot of water that crosses these two folks' properties, and it's because of the prior development upstream. There's upwards of 20 acres or more of area, the school, Ridgetop Elementary, and other areas that were developed years and years ago before, I think, three or four storm codes back. So the type of mitigation that was required at that time was not near what is required now. So that water runs across this property, and we will, with this development, we will deal with that water in an appropriate manner. But it does go to these culverts that they're talking about.
And that includes the plat that's just to the north of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it crosses that plat. That plat to the north, I wasn't involved with that plat, but that was designed with a storm code that was much more restrictive than the school and these other areas. So this water, this amount of water is coming from upstream of this property, upstream of that other plat as well. And when this project is developed, the storm code that it's required to comply with is much more restrictive. And in fact, we'll have to pretend that this land is like an old growth forest, and that's how much water we're allowed to discharge off of. So in reality, compared to the second growth forest that's there now, or the pasture, or even the existing houses, we'll be reducing the amount of water that comes off of this part, this property.
Is the storm code, is that the one that was just updated fairly recently?
This code is it's essentially equivalent to that in a manner, but it is the code right before that one. Okay. But the results are the same.
Okay.
So I guess what I'm saying is when this property is developed, there will not be added water to the downstream.
So it won't add to the culvert that we heard about earlier.
Yeah. I mean, it has to use the culvert because
right.
It is the designated downstream. And I guess I just wanted to address or say to Mr. as far as Mr. Miller, just to assure you that when they say 68 houses, just because they're attached, we don't double that up. There's not. It's 68 families. So I think that's all,
okay.
Unless you have a question.
I think that's it for right now.
All right. Thank you very much. John Johnson, the owner, wants to say something.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name for the record?
John Johnson.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes. So just to clarify, I'm Mr. Holmes' partner, so we're both owners. But just a couple of things, and I appreciate people from the neighborhood coming in and testifying. We have tried to reach out to them. I did my first project in 1987, first plat in Kitsap County, and we've limited our development work to Kitsap County. So we've developed a lot of communities, a lot of plats over the last 30 years. And I think the challenge is, you know, through the comp plan process, this property was rezoned from less density to higher density, which put us in a really difficult position because we'd already done a layout for a plat. And let me just also clarify for the record that when Mr. Holmes testified that we did the project to the north, Whispering Meadows, we were not involved in the planning or in getting the actual final infrastructure. We bought that as finished lots. The developer, Andy Schell, and Mr. Kukos, who was his superintendent, ran into financial problems. And so when we bought that project, it was fully platted. All the roads were in.
Infrastructure, the basic infrastructure.
Yeah, we didn't change anything with that house that was pointed out by Mr. Miller. But we tried to do a good job with the construction. The height restriction is 35 feet. It's not limited to two stories. So I think there's a misunderstanding there. But those homes that we were selling 3 years ago are selling exactly 100,000 more than we sold them for 3 years ago. So we did a good job. We've added a lot of value. People love that neighborhood. I'm talking about Whispering Meadows. Right. But the design and how that was put together, we were not involved in that at all. So we now have an updated storm code. We're trying to do the responsible thing. We're trying not to do a storm pond that is ugly and kind of a caged. You know what those look like.
Yeah.
And they're a real eyesore. So we're actually giving up land to have more friendly community. And we could do 130 units. We could actually sell this to an apartment developer. A lot of apartment developers looking around Kitsap County right now. Probably double our money. But we're trying to look at the long term. We're concerned about our reputation. If you Google our company and my name, you know, if we're doing development 30 years, I'll stand on the record. If you have, we're not perfect, but I'll put it up against any other developer in any community in terms of the end product. So there is an elementary school that's right next to the property. So I think a lot of the parents of the elementary kids would be concerned that they're cougars in the neighborhood and that we want to kind of turn this into a wildlife reserve. And I understand the frustration of people that are experiencing the effects of the Growth Management Act and the commitment the state is making counties live with, that they're going to increase the density around urban centers. There are going to be 1,500 jobs added to the hospital. This is one of the closest plats. And in fact, there are only two plats. I have an email from the county. Greenfield projects that have been submitted to Kitsap County in the last 4 years, there are only two plats, 132 lots. So developers are finding it extremely difficult. That's why the price of housing has gone up 35% in West Bremerton in the last 12 months, because if you shut down people like me and they can't develop good neighborhoods, and I live here, I raised my kids here, all four of my kids were born in Harrison Hospital. I'm not going anywhere. Levi's my son-in-law. So we're one of the few dinosaurs left trying to actually build relationships in the community. We did reach out to the neighbors. And I understand the frustration. But the time to make these arguments was during the comp plan process. We didn't want this increase to medium. We weren't one of the developers saying, yeah, max out the density. We're going to max out the money. We don't care about the surrounding neighborhood. That hasn't been my approach. So, you know, I think the time for the type of testimony you've heard today was when this comp plan process looked at this property and looked at other properties, and I was not a proponent of that. In fact, I was disappointed when that happened because we had a different plan. But that was the time for these neighbors. They were all notified. It was published in the papers. Everybody knew that this density change was happening, and that would have been a good time for these people to have made their voice heard in that process. This is kind of a day late and a dollar short. So just a couple of corrections. Ann Dobson's property, she testified under oath that it was directly across from the pond. There's no portion of the pond that's directly across from her property. Her property is to the north. It's very easy to see that on the layout. As I mentioned, the height restriction was not true. It's 35 feet. It's not a two-story limitation. Norm's already corrected that you don't double up the units. We're actually exactly 50% of the density that the county would like to see. So, as I mentioned to Mr. Mueller out in the hallway, you know, if we're not successful, we'll go ahead and sell it to an apartment developer. Not a problem. Those people are lined up right now with the fast ferry starting this week. I know how much we're going to make, and we'll make more money, but you're going to have somebody come in and build 130 units there with their lawyers. They don't live in the community. They don't really care what people think. And that's the problem that's happening. The local guys no longer are able to make these kind of projects work without having the big legal teams and big city engineers and kind of overwhelming the process. So anyway, we're trying to do as good a job as we can. We're trying to communicate with the neighbors, understand their frustration. But, you know, this is a decision that other people made before, you know, we had to design the project and try to make it work at 50% of the density. So we will do a good job. I think people are going to be happy with what we do. I think their property values are going to increase. The houses we built at Rose Spring Meadows certainly have added significant value to the two neighbors that testified. So, it's a tough, my heart goes out to somebody who has 2.5 acres, and then through the comp plan process, all of a sudden there's, 130 units coming in next door. That's, nobody buys the property, hoping that's going to happen. But the time to have come and made that argument was when the comp plan process allowed for the public to come and testify. So, any additional questions?
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anything further from the applicant? Okay, anything from staff? I think what I'll do is I'll keep the record open a little bit. There was some comments about some of the neighbors had some other materials they didn't have the opportunity to bring, but just for a few days. So if there's any follow-up from the public on anything that we've heard, there'll be an opportunity to provide that. But today's Thursday, so maybe I'll keep it open through Tuesday of next week, close of business, 5 o'clock. So if anyone from the public has anything else that they wish to add into the record or any corrections or anything that they wanted to make, forward those to the hearing examiner clerk, and then I'll consider everything that comes in by close of business on Tuesday. And then after the record closes, a decision will be out within 10 days, and that will be forwarded to the planning department, to the hearing examiner clerk, and then she will send it on to anyone who's provided their email address and contact information so that they can be provided a copy with that. So. Is there anything else that we need to address today, or is I think we are adjourned. Oh, there's a question from the public. Yes. If you could step forward just so we capture it.
I understand. My name's Holly Smelser.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
And I understand what Mr. Johnson's trying to say and everything, and that's all good. But it's not going to change our situation. So, first of all, I would like to just state for the record that we were not involved in the process when they changed all this to rural to urban area up there. We weren't even living there yet. We had no opportunity to do that. And then second of all, I was wondering if we could maybe, you know, maybe as a something that might make me, you know, us and the Dobsons feel better is if we have a non-partial and impartial, water drainage engineer come out that is not from them, not from the county, just a complete impartial engineer come out and look and give us a real, map or kind of like a future report of what is going to happen with our area and our yards and in between our properties. You know, just maybe that will at least help suffice to make us feel a little bit at ease, because right now, you know, our hands are tied and we're watching our property that, you know, we planned on retiring in just wash away in front of us. So, you know, if I don't know who would have to pay for that. I don't think it should be our responsibility. We're still trying to pay for our home. But I think that's the least that we could be afforded is some kind of a report. And if we're wrong, great. That'll still make us feel better. But if we're right, then something a lot more needs to be done about that drain off situation than what's even planned now. And that's pretty much all I have to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Was there anyone else from the public that any questions before we close this that wanted to? Okay. All right. So like I said, the written record, even though we're closing this oral testimony, the written record's being kept open through close of business on Tuesday. If anyone, whether the applicant or from the public, has anything they wish to add to the record, please do so by Tuesday, and they will forward it on to me so I can take a look at that. And as I mentioned earlier, decision will be out within 10 days of Tuesday. Any other last questions? Okay. Thank you all. We are adjourned for today.